Blog Talk Radio.
All I am is a man. I want the world in my hands. I hate the beach, but I stand in California with my toes in the sand. Use the sleeves of my sweater. Let's have an adventure. Head in the clouds, but my gravity centered. Touch my neck, and I'll touch yours. You and
welcome to the HR Happy Hour Show. So glad to be back with you tonight. My name is Steve Bowes. Today is Thursday, March 7th, 2013. This is the HR Happy Hour Show titled Social Brand and Recruiting. I am stoked for tonight's show. We have a great guest, an old friend of the show, hasn't been back on the show in quite a while, so we're so happy to have her. We'll welcome her on in a minute. But of course, before I waste any more time, let me welcome co-host Trish McFarland, who just ran in from her car, from her drive home, from her dedication to the show is unmatched. I think she perhaps didn't even stop like to say hello to her family. Trish, what is happening? You just made it in time.
Hello, I did. See, I told you. I think this is going to become that I'm the roving reporter on the street. So there is a chance that I could actually do the call from my car. But
it was literally
tonight I made it home.
Yeah, and I'm so glad you did, Trish, because I don't know how you can tell this on the phone or folks who are listening. My voice is starting to go. I think I'm coming down with something. So if I start to fade out, Trish, you're in charge. Just take over, run the show.
Absolutely. I might do it
whatever
anyway.
You need to do.
Yeah, it might happen.
You know, and I tell you what, too, if I do get sick, if I really get sick, I know exactly who I'm blaming for this, Trish. I'm blaming Canada. Blaming the entire nation.
You're blaming
Canada? Yes,
what
I am.
What did Canada do to you?
I was in Canada yesterday, and while I was there, I enjoyed myself. I had a good time. I went to visit our friends at Achievers. They had a great day for customers and some analysts and such. They're doing some fantastic things up in Toronto, so I do want to thank them, Razor Sulman from Achievers and Sarah Beth Anders and Rob Catalano and the whole team of Achievers.
It sounds like the Oscars. Can I put on the music where we pull you off? Or
you love that? How many plugs can I give in the first 5 minutes of the show? But I'm going to tell you what, I don't feel well today, and I'm getting sick possibly, and I must have caught some sort of weird Canadian virus of some nature, and so I'm blaming Canada for that. So before we carry on, let me just quickly, Trish, give out some of the logistics here. This is the HR Happy Hour Show being recorded live Thursday, March 7th, 2013. Social Brand and Recruiting. Our call-in number tonight, 646-378-1086. Press 1 to get on board tonight, and I think you'll want to tonight. We're going to have a really fun show and conversation tonight. Our back channel hashtag on Twitter, HR Happy Hour, we'll keep an eye on that as well. And, of course, many, many thanks to our friends at Acquire, still with us after all these years. I'm not sure they're still listening anymore. They may not still be with us, Trish, after all these years. But thanks so much to everyone at Acquire, AQUIRE.com. Always good things happening at Acquire. And my very good friend Lois Melbourne, you know, thanks to her and the whole team at Acquire. So Trish.
Yeah.
What was the big news of the day in our world, in our HR social, HR evolution world? What was the big news of today? I think you should break that news on the show for folks who might not have heard.
Can I? Okay. So the big news of the day is that Matt Stalick and his lovely wife, Kelly, have twins, boy-girl twins, born this morning. So no names yet, but healthy babies and healthy mommy. And so we're all pretty excited. If you follow or know Matt, shoot him a message on the Twitters at AKA Bruno.
Right, our good friend Matt, AKA Bruno Stalick, the proud parent, along with his wife Kelly, of twins. I have submitted the names Steve and Stephanie as potential names.
Ooh, I submitted Patricia.
Which I think are good names.
Or I already have the successful Jack and Carly boy-girl twin set. And Steve, may I point out, this makes you the only HR evolution planner without twins.
Yeah. And
three out of four of us now have twins. Isn't that odd?
And, and it will remain that way, Trish, forever. So I guess I'll be the odd man out. So awesome. Okay. Congratulations, Matt Stalick. I have lots of other announcements. You know, I'm going to hold announcements to the end of the show because I don't want to keep our guest waiting any longer than she already has been. Let's welcome back to the show the great Jessica Lee. She's the Director of Digital Talent Strategy at Marriott International. And Jessica, I am such a mark for Marriott. We're going to talk about Marriott a little bit tonight. I am a huge Marriott fan. That's where I stay. That's the only place I stay.
Well, thank you.
And we're going to talk about, you know, perhaps getting me upgraded on my Marriott status later in the show, perhaps. But Jessica leads the digital strategy for talent initiatives for the global powerhouse that is Marriott. She leads Marriott's global strategy for leveraging social media for recruiting and employer brand building. She helps to identify and introduce new digital technologies and channels to improve the candidate experience. And she champions social media and all things digital within the HR and recruiting organization. In addition to all that great work she's done at Marriott, she does lots of other things. She's a frequent speaker and author. She was the original editor of the mighty Fistful of Talent blog, where she still is a contributor today, as am I, a proud contributor. She speaks all over the country and all over the world. She's been quoted everywhere. And we're so happy to have her back on the show. Jessica, how are you tonight?
Thank you. I'm good. I'm excited. I feel like, was I banned for a while? It's been a while since I've been on.
Jessica, I feel like you have been, and maybe I'm wrong on this, I feel like you've gotten so immersed in your role at Marriott and other things you're doing that has it been a little bit consuming for you the last couple of years that you've been doing at Marriott?
No, you know what? That's true, though. Like the past, it's actually only been a year and a month or two that I've been there, and it has just been crazy. In a really good way, but I won't blame you. I'll blame myself.
It's fair to blame me. It's fair to blame me.
Well,
you know,
and Jessica's a newlywed too.
Yeah,
that's true.
So happy anniversary, right? Like,
yeah,
not too long ago.
A year and a half in, and we're
Is
still
it a year
married.
And a half already?
We made it.
Oh my god.
Yeah, we made it past Kim Kardashian's records and all that. So it's good.
Very good. I feel like every time I do see Jessica anywhere online, she's always skiing. So I think that's really what she's been doing for the last year, right? Always skiing.
No comments.
Skiing and
so
working.
Cool. So Jessica, I sort of read the bio, I read the official stuff, but maybe you could just share with the folks a little bit about what you've been doing in your thoughts around, working at such a powerful, impressive, globally recognized brand where I would love to have platinum status sometime next year.
Well, it's been an amazing experience. So, this is my first time working for a major brand that is this recognizable and that is also just this big. I think sometimes people actually don't realize, the footprint. So it's 300,000 associates around the world. It's 75 countries.
Wow.
Yeah, it's now 19 brands. And there's just a lot going on. We probably hire upwards of 75,000 people per year, and the number of applicants and all of that is it's crazy. So for me, it's just been like this massive learning experience to kind of figure out how do you operate in such a large company. And then at the same time, there's not a lot of time to waste because, the charge that I have is really to bring to life things in the digital space, which includes social, mobile, and, you can't really wait when it comes to that stuff, and you have to move quickly. So I've spent the last year and a few months really diving in, and I had great people who laid the foundation before me, but it was taking everything that they had done through social, and I'm referencing Susan Strayer in particular, and then just taking it to the next level and really working on, helping to ensure that from a global scale perspective and on behalf of all of our brands that we're getting some bang for our buck and that we're really proving that it makes a difference, that it's important to do, and that we will, just continue to drive innovation in that space. So it's been an amazing, amazing year. I'm tired, but it's been great. It's been fun.
Right, sure, sure. And Jessica, before, I don't want to spend the whole show talking about Marriott, which I love. And do I have to continue? I could probably lay off the Marriott, sucking up to Marriott right now. Because I've got to tell you, it's on my mind because I was in one of those situations in 2012. I travel a lot, a fair bit, and, you know, when I have a choice, I do. I stay in a Marriott Grand Hotel, and I came very close to that upper tier of status, and I fell short at the end of the year, and it's been on my mind now. As we enter 2013, it's been on my mind as, like one of the things I don't know.
It's good. It's good to have goals.
It's like that white whale out there I didn't capture. So maybe in 2013 I'll get there. So but instead of just talking about Marriott, Jessica, I thought we could talk a little bit more generally. And one of the first things I wanted to just throw out there to discuss is some of the larger trends or some of the industry trends that you see. I feel like in many ways. Like, we're done sort of talking about, at least for large brands, global brands, like the importance of using or being involved in social media and social networking for talent processes and for recruiting and branding. I feel like we're sort of past that point. Like, everyone's participating to some extent. I wonder if you could comment a little bit about sort of moving past just participating and into, say, real engagement or real kind of interactions that do have tangible benefit for a brand or a big brand like yours?
Yeah, you know, I don't think that we've hit a plateau, and I actually think that there's still a lot of room to still get engaged in social but do it even better. And I think it's, you know, a bit of an evolution. So I feel like, you know, where brands like Marriott's are and where other large brands are is that even if they say that they have proved the value, I actually don't know if I really believe that people have truly shown some kind of return on the work that they're doing in social and all the time that they're investing in it. So at least for me, what I'm kind of observing is that, you know, at this point, it's continue doing it, but really show that, you know, there is some kind of meaningful value and that it's actually worth it. And I don't know, folks talk about, like, you know, there's a value, we've hired this many people, blah, blah, blah. But I don't think, like, the numbers or the impact that people have to speak for actually matters. So I think it's taking it to the next level. And then the other area where I just feel like, you know, we've definitely not hit a plateau and there's room to, you know, evolve it even more beyond just, you know, being involved. I think mobile is such a gigantic space and how you integrate, you know, everything you do from a social media perspective, from a mobile perspective. Like, you cannot operate the two, like, in silos from one another. And mobile, I think, is just going to explode even further. So I think there's just so much going on in the space still, and it's just going to continue to grow.
Yeah, Jessica, I'd love to. I'm going to come back to the mobile point as well, and that's something that I've noticed as well in my new job. Trish, can I pitch, like, my new job a little bit?
You can.
So in my new job as helping to organize HR Technology Conference in 2013, you know, one of the areas that we've seen a lot of interest in for folks who want to talk about is mobile and how they've optimized for mobile recruiting, how they've, you know, had strategies for making their jobs more accessible, visible, applicable. Is that a word, applicable or able? Probably not.
Applicable. Sure.
able to apply on a mobile device. So there's a lot of interest in that, certainly, and we're seeing that too. Like, I'm seeing that on my side. So that's, you know, it's such a funny thing. I guess the one other, Jessica, question I have is, you know, you threw out some really big numbers, right? 75,000 potential hires in a year, you know, properties all over the world. And for huge brands or even just large, you know, brands, is it to the point now where if you're going to be doing kinds of, you know, real scale kinds of hiring that if you don't have a social strategy or social engagement strategy or an attraction strategy that you just can't survive anymore? Would you say that's probably true or possibly true?
Oh, gosh. I don't know if I would say that that's true. What I would say is that if you're a big brand, if you're any company or any brand, you're going to go in with social. I don't think you have to do it, but I think if you are going to do it, you better do it right, and you're going to have to invest in resource for it and get it to scale where it matches the scale of the recruiting that you're doing. So, like, for us, you know, the number of people we hire per year. We have like 8,000 open jobs at any given moment. So when we think about social making an impact to those 8,000 jobs, because that's all that matters at the end of the day, you know, the fact that we have 460,000 fans on our Facebook page, that means nothing. Like, it's a drop in the bucket compared to the number of applicants we're going to really need to fill all of those 8,000 jobs. So,
right.
Yeah, I don't think we have to do social, but if you're going to make the commitment, like, I think you've got to be, like, fully all in and understand that, like, to for it to matter, like, the scale is going to have to match the scale that you're actually dealing with. So, but I, you know what, that might, like, sound crazy for me to say, but I actually don't think everyone does need to do social. I mean, I think it's an important trend. I think there's a lot of potential there. But if you didn't do it, I mean, I still think there's a ton of recruiting that gets done the traditional way, and that stuff never goes away.
Yeah, no, I think that, yeah, fair point, Trish. I mean, like, I talked to a guy the other day. I don't want to call him out without sort of so he would know. Like, a guy we know, big brand, not as big and as important as Marriott, Trish, Jessica. Let me just be clear about that. But a brand, a big well known brand, and he couldn't stop talking about how much success he's had with optimization via Indeed. And the huge amount of hires he's getting, which is not really, like, you know, like, I was kind of surprised when he told me, like, what was happening there. And so that sort of feeds in, Jessica. It's maybe not always the right strategy or the appropriate strategy, depending on your situation, your company, your ability to support it, as you suggest.
Well, I think
totally. The
key thing is that what Jessica had said about having the resources to actually handle the strategy, though. I think it's one thing to have, you know, because you can have a company where you may say, okay, here's our social recruiting strategy or a component of our overall recruiting strategy. But if you don't have people who understand how to actually make that come into life, it's not much good. So that's part of it too. Jessica, do you find that, in your opinion, it's more successful to have the recruiters who really have that strong knowledge of social, or is it more marketing, or is it kind of a mix? Like, where does that fall, or does that matter?
Yeah, I mean, I think you could go a few different ways. I mean, you can have recruiters who are highly fluent in social and attack it from like a sourcing perspective and really, you know, go the data route to mine for data, find people, and get aggressive from a sourcing perspective. But separate from that, or it could be complementary to it, you know, I think you could go the route of, you know, brand building through social, in which case I think you've got to have, you know, dedicated people who get brand concepts, who get marketing, who get communication fundamentals, who are, you know, powerhouses from a content perspective and can really focus on just building a community and then seeing, you know, what rewards you get from that. So I just think it kind of depends, but I think when you try to have recruiters do both, that becomes a little bit difficult, I think if it's this community building aspect, then definitely, you know, I just don't know. If you have like 15, 20 recs on your plate, that's the thing that's going to fall off first. So I just,
right.
I think just really depends on your company. But for my team, we're focused on really on the brand side of things and trying to build more awareness. So even though you love Marriott, Steve, and you,
you
speak all its praises, I mean, there are people in countries who've never heard of us, and we need to hire aggressively there. And not only that, maybe they've, you know, heard of us, but like their family, their cultures think the work itself is, you know, not something that's respectable. Like, who would work in a hotel and do customer service work? You need to go be a doctor, things along those lines. So I think it really depends on like what your issues are, what's the end goal. But right now for us, we're really, really focused on the brand building side of things.
Yeah, and that, you know, you touched on a point I wanted to talk about a little bit too, Jessica. And I think you even hinted at that in some of your bio material that you know, as a big global brand, you've got an idea of the employer value proposition, say, or what you're trying to communicate to the market, but yet you've got to deal with all these nuances and differences in the local areas where you're hiring and where you're building properties, right? And is that something that you have a lot of control over, or do you sort of, I don't know, rely on people in these markets and countries to help you or help your team, help the company sort of craft the message and the outreach and the things that you do in these different markets, which may have really different perceptions?
Yeah, you know, when I first started at Myriad, it was myself and a small team at corporate headquarters. So we're in Bethesda, Maryland, but yet we have a presence in, you know, 75 countries. And so, you know, for me, it became really apparent super quickly that, like, we were kind of in this, you know, ivory towers, if that's the right term, and we didn't really know what was actually going on out there. We have, I think we're fortunate that we do have a great partner through Aviva Brands. If people aren't aware of them, they're a great employer brand agency, and they, on our behalf, did a ton of research to help us really understand what happens at the property level and what happens in particular markets where we're doing a lot of growth and development. So we have insights like that that also helped us. But, you know, day to day, one of the things that we quickly put in place is, you know, no one wants to hear from like a director of a digital talent strategy at corporate headquarters. If I'm a job seeker,
right,
you want to get straight to a recruiter. So we put in place this network of about 20, 25 HR folks who sit at the hotels, who are day-to-day HR folks and do recruitment as part of their jobs, and got them engaged in the social side of things on behalf of the brand so that they could really make sure we're talking about the right kind of content, that we're, you know, portraying from a global perspective, you know, diversity in terms of language, in terms of insights. And I think without something like that, there'd be no way that we could speak to the audience that we're speaking to now and get any success out of it. So
yeah.
I think, you know, it just kind of goes back to, for us, like, we're trying to build sustainability in terms of the work that we do with social and infuse it in as many different places as possible. And I kind of serve as, you know, a conductor for that orchestra, but that's really it. And day to day, we've got to get more folks engaged. So I don't have enough line of sight, you know, to be able to do it. And I absolutely have to rely on partners to help us figure it out and make sure that we're being relevant for some of those audiences.
Yeah. Yeah, Jessica, thanks for that. Let's take a quick reset. Trish, my voice is starting to flag a little, so you're ready to go, right? You're ready to...
I am. I was just thinking how well you were sounding, though. Not too bad.
I don't know. I'm going to pause here for a quick second, have a sip here of something, and
I
say this is the HR happy hour.
Sipping.
It's not really medicinal. I mean, not in the traditional sense. This is the HR Happy Hour show. My name's Steve Bowes. Trish McFarland is with me, of course. Jessica Lee is our guest. We're talking about social and recruiting and branding. Our calling number tonight, 646-378-1086. Plenty of opportunity for folks to get on board tonight, ask a question, make a comment. Please do feel free. Just press 1 after you connect, and we'll get you on board right away. Of course, if there's some folks out there listening live and on the back channel, HR Happy Hour. HR Happy Hour is our hashtag. We'll keep an eye on that as well. So, you know, Jessica, the other last sort of question I had, and you can tell me this is dopey and we can move on, but, you know, sort of in along the lines of sort of selling these projects or these programs, you know, as valuable inside the organization, do you still sense that in some organizations there's still a leadership barrier and an executive buy-in barrier for the fact that, hey, we really need to be, you know, building a brand in social media or engaging with candidates on social media? Is that still sort of a barrier out there for organizations, you think, that executive leadership doesn't really see the value in this yet?
That's a good question. You know, I think from what I've seen and what I've experienced directly, like, making the argument for value isn't as difficult anymore, but I think what is more difficult is, like, people get it. Like, everyone knows that it's important and you've got to get in it if you want to make an impact in terms of particular audiences or you'd be quote-unquote innovative. Yes, you've got to get in it and you've got to play. It's important. But I think where people have trouble and at the executive level, what they're really looking for is, okay, so you want to get involved and I think we should do it, but how are you going to connect the dots between this work and showing some kind of return? So, you know, I had an executive actually say to me, and this is burned in my brain from now to eternity, that, you know, okay, yes, we should do it, and yes, I think it's important, but at this point, and this was, you know, rewinding a little bit, he said, at this point, it is a leap of faith that we're taking, and you've got to be able to show some kind of return and show me that the, you know, the cost that we're spending, the headcount that we have dedicated to this, that you know, there's some kind of return. So I think, you know, it's this antsiness that a lot of people have of, you know, show me what I'm going to get in return. But yes, we know it's important. And I think it's scary, you know, to be in that position. But that's kind of what I've seen for a lot of folks is they're skeptical, but they kind of get it. But they're waiting. They're waiting to see, like, show me something quickly.
Yeah, yeah, fair point.
I think that measurement is a little bit difficult, too, because you might have a very small staff, you know, and even the argument to gain more people to help you get some good results to show, it's sort of a vicious circle. It's sort of like HR in general sometimes. You know, there are many things that we sort of have to say, well, take this leap of faith with me, you know, and I will be able to show you at the end. But it's very challenging.
Yeah,
I've had that at several
point.
Employers and then just in talking to people too. Yeah, I think the leaders tend to be more on board than, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, but Jessica's right. They definitely want measurement now. And I was not hearing that 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, I do think so. I mean, resources are always going to be an issue, and I think if people think, like, this is simple, cheap, easy, I don't think it's any of those things. But I do think, and I'm excited to see, you know, from a technology perspective, there are some vendors out there that are helping, you know, make it a little bit easier to connect the dots so that you can say, look, here is exactly what you need to see in order to show that there's some kind of value in this, and here's the actual results. So I think that's encouraging that vendors will help us, you know, get to that place. But, you know, when you bring in vendors and other technology to layer in with your social, then you go back to a different kind of resourcing issue. But I hope it'll get easier over time. I do hope.
Jessica, do you find that you're using employees to help you with the message? I mean, is there any sort of more structured initiative on that with Marriott, or is that something that, you know, I mean, if your employees, you know, tweet or share or whatever, you know, that it's a good thing, but it's not really a focus?
Yeah, you know, that has been one of, for us, I think one of the best things that we've seen is kind of an accidental, it's been an accident and a surprise, is the way our own associates have kind of stepped up to help drive conversation and really help to make things viral and organic. So, you know, it was a big surprise to us that with our Marriott Jobs and Careers Facebook page, for example, I mean, you can't quantify how many of those fans are actually our own associates, but when you look at conversation that's taking place there, it is so often our own people who are jumping in to help drive the conversation, to help engage people in conversation, and it's nothing that we've orchestrated by any means, but it's also something that we've not tried to, you know, put a cap on or get them to stop. So we're super, super grateful that, you know, our folks are really passionate about the brand, about working for us, and really help to, you know, drive those messages further. And I'm hoping that we see more of it. I think if there are ways that we can formalize it to make more people ambassadors, great. But kind of watching how it happened organically has been just this really neat surprise. And, you know, they're the quickest ones to defend us when people get frustrated or upset. So, you know, when folks like Steve are not happy that they haven't reached that next platinum level status,
I know.
People who are getting in there and saying, you know, don't worry, you'll get there and we'll help you achieve it. And they're pretty awesome. And I'm thankful that we have a brand where folks are just really passionate about it. So it's been awesome for us.
Yeah, I do blame myself for failing to reach platinum status last year. Just some really just
I would blame Canada.
Canada, that's ridiculous. There are Marriotts in Canada, right? I hope. There better be.
I'm never going back.
I am never going back if there's not. And I do like the.
Might not let you in based on how you're blaming them at this point.
I tell you what. Speaking of that, I had such a hard time. I drove because I was just going to Toronto, and so I drove and. On the way back into the U.S. last night, they almost didn't want to let me in. It was like stump the American driver, you know, at the border control there. Like all the questions they were hammering me with, and then when they asked me like what was my job and what I did, and I tried to explain it to them, like the guy at border control was like he had never heard of a job like this. It didn't even make any sense. I suppose it doesn't, right?
Do you think it's like, because you looked like the Unabomber at all? Or?
No, I was dressed business wear. I was cleaned up, Trish. I was not in.
Oh, okay, all right. I'm just you know.
I thought maybe you had the.
You know, you and Lance Hahn both grow the kind of the big woolly beards and the.
Yeah, that is true. Because the work from home guys, right? The work from home crew. When you have those long stretches in between, like having to go anywhere and see anyone. Yeah, it can tend to get a little ragged here, no doubt. So, at any rate, so hey, quick reset. This is the HR Happy Hour Show. My name's Steve Bowes. Trish McFarlane is here, of course. Jessica Lee, our guest tonight. We're talking about social media, social networking, branding, recruiting. Our calling number, 646-378-1086. Please press 1 if you want to come on board. There's some folks on hold who are listening in, and that's great. If any of you guys want to get on board tonight, just press 1. We'll open up your line. And, of course, on Twitter, our hashtag, HRHappyHour. We'll keep an eye on that as well. So, what else? Technology. You hinted at it, Jessica, a second ago, and we did want to talk a little bit about technology. And I don't necessarily want you to maybe call out vendors that you work with, but you can. If you prefer to name names, that's great. You don't have to. I'm not trying to elicit any secret dirt or anything like that. But, I mean, technology is a big part of this, there's no doubt, especially for a big midsize or a large company that's got tons of volume, and if you're going to get really active and engage with candidates, engage with prospects, engage with the public even, on these social networks, volume is going to start to increase. Technology is going to come into play to help manage all that. I'd love for you to talk a little bit about technology, but maybe, like, just first off, maybe what are some of the things that HR and recruiting folks should maybe even think about when evaluating or considering, technologies to help their social media / social recruiting efforts? What do you think about when you look at technology?
Yeah, it's so there are some great vendors I work with who I will give shout outs to. But in terms of evaluating technology, I'm overwhelmed. Even though this is like the space that I play in, I am just utterly overwhelmed with how much stuff is out there and how much new stuff is out there and just the number of calls I get all the time about we have something new, we want to talk to you about it, we want to share it with you. And especially if we're talking about like social, everyone has some kind of solution where there is a social bent to it. So, right. I mean, I think in terms of evaluating, for me, like, I think there is like this philosophical thing that you've got to figure out first for your company, which is, okay, there's all this new stuff out there, so are we the kind of company that's going to be okay with, testing out new things and taking leaps of faith, or do we need to see, proven results with, a new technology that's being introduced? And I think when you figure out that kind of philosophical question first, then you can start cutting through, with a lot of the new vendors that are, coming out with stuff,
right.
Look, they haven't proven, so I'm not gonna bother with them. But I think, like, second to that, I think there's so much overlap between different things that people are developing and selling that you've got to really make sure that you look internally to see what do we have in place, what has been developed, or what do current vendors we're working with, potentially have, and really work through some of those existing channels. And then I think separate from that, I, again, because there is so much new, I do think that, you got to stop and take a moment to think, is this exciting because it's just, like, new and shiny, or is
right.
this really going to have utility and value? So it's overwhelming, though. I'll be the first to admit that I'm a little bit overwhelmed by all of it.
right. I mean, Trish, you deal with a lot of technology as well, I mean, do you get the sense of that, too? There's so much too much going on, and it's difficult to sort of keep abreast of what's happening.
I do, and I think that part of that is that you feel it's very hard to learn all of the potential vendors you might want to even choose from if you're kind of busy doing your day job in human resources or recruiting or brand management or whatever, mix or combination of the three you are. But, and you might not have the money to go out and sort of hire a large consulting firm to come in and tell you what to do or give you recommendations. So honestly, though, I think that if you can teach people to spend minimal amounts of time following certain vendors and just kind of lurking online, watching what they're talking about, what are their solutions. I do a lot of demos, on the internet. Instead of having, the vendor themselves give it, to me. A lot of vendors now put their demos, at least short ones, or on YouTube, and start doing research that way. So I think that, if you're an HR professional and you're having to make decisions about what vendors to even begin looking at, it is getting easier because, again, a couple of years ago I was much more intimidated by the landscape and, even though there are probably more vendors and more solutions now, it seems like people who are willing to help you and give you free advice are probably more abundant or more easily accessible if you're just
right.
out there
or,
looking.
Or certainly, Trish, certainly you could make a small investment of your time and come to the HR Technology Conference October 7th through 9th in Las Vegas, hrtechconference.com, and learn everything you need to know about all the important players. So I thought
absolutely true. No, that's part of it too, but I still think just the word technology, it's really intimidating to people. You know, they feel like, and until you can show anyone of any age how easy using technology or looking at a certain platform can be, then they feel empowered. I'll just give an example. I was with my grandparents over the weekend, and my grandpa's 83. He doesn't like cell phones. He certainly doesn't even like texting or whatever. By the end of the visit, he was using my dad's Galaxy tablet. He was getting on the internet. He was looking things up. He couldn't believe you could actually press a little microphone button and say whatever you want, and it would find it for you. So, again, I think once, you know, it just takes sitting down with someone. So if you're not really big in the space, you don't understand, I would say just find someone in your industry that you know and trust that would spend, you know, again, 20, 30 minutes with you just to get you started. And people are pretty willing to share what they know. So
next time I'm calling you, Trish.
Yeah.
You know what, too? I think also a big thing, too, is when you are on a site like Twitter and you're following, you know, you might be following a brand. So, for example, if I'm following Marriott, you know, you think like, okay, it's a brand, it's a logo. There's a person behind that, and I think that's what people forget. So I might be following a certain HR technology vendor or social media vendor or whatever solution. All you do is you start interacting with that person. You find out about them, and it makes it so much less intimidating. To me, that's the beauty of it. I feel much more comfortable now, and, you know, I encourage everyone on my team to start doing that so that they understand how to look for vendors.
Yeah. And that's a really good point, too, and it's a good, I guess, piece of advice for the folks who are in the business of, like I used to be, right, of providing solutions or trying to provide solutions to the HR audience and the recruiting audience is to be a little bit more, I don't know, be a little bit more human, right, be a little bit more interactive, be a little bit more, the very same things we talk about that we want to do with, you know, communicating our brand and engaging with our candidates. I think the vendor community could learn from that as well, right? Often especially the larger vendors seem quite a bit. I don't know, monolithic, a little bit impersonal, right? So I think that's a good lesson as well. Hey, Jessica, I wanted to swing back to the mobile topic you brought up. You hinted at a little bit earlier, and I wanted to follow up on that a little bit again. Are you seeing really heavy uptake of mobile from the first group that I'd like to ask you about, which is your target audiences, your potential candidates and your actual candidates? Is mobile a big part of how candidates want to engage with you guys and your brand?
Yeah, so, oh gosh, we could talk about mobile just as a show topic on its own, but for us, absolutely. And I have to take the global perspective when I talk about it, because you look at developing markets where, you know, the cost of a computer, you know, far outweighs the cost to have, you know, a cell phone and a data plan. And then also for us, the demographic to who we hire. So, you know, 80% of all our hires are, you know, typical hotel hourly workers. And so when you factor in the global landscape, the demographics of who we hire, mobile is gigantic, and we're in a bit of a catch-up mode. At least that's how I feel in terms of getting solutions out there that really work for, you know, that population. So I think, like, we have barely begun to scratch the surface there, but it's going to be huge. It's going to be huge for us in particular.
Yeah. You know, one of the things, Jessica, we sometimes hear about mobile, like in the recruiting space, certainly, is that well, you know what? You know, applying for a job, say that actual piece of the process, which is not the whole process, and I understand that, but that actual process where you'd actually, you know, actually decide, I'm going to apply for this job because I'm interested in it. Like, that kind of process, some people would say, that doesn't really work on mobile. And they'll try to offer lots of reasons why. And, you know, I don't know, not necessarily in the context of Marriott, but just in your general sort of philosophy about it, do you think the full sort of cycle, that full process of sort of, you know, maybe, you know, pushing notifications out, doing some branding work, all the way through to the full application. Do you think all of that, the full cycle, can work on mobile or make sense for mobile?
Yeah, you know what, I go back and forth on this, and if you asked me this 6 months ago, I would have said every job seeker I talk to says they would never want to complete their application on a mobile device and go through that process, you know, given their fat fingers or given the fact that they're
right.
on, you know, a phone just for a few, you know, minutes at a time, or given the fact that, like, they take the job search so seriously, like, this is their livelihood at stake, that why on earth would you want to do that on a mobile device? And so I actually was going down this path for a while where I felt like this isn't the path to go. Mobile apply is not the answer. But then, you know, I take a step back and look at, you know, how many people have already applied for jobs with us on mobile devices, despite the fact that it was an imperfect process they went through. It
sure.
wasn't meant to be for mobile. And just like that global piece where there's so many more people on devices than we probably recognize in other markets. Like, I feel like we have no choice but to get there. But, you know, there's this whole thing of, like, you can't do mobile apply and do the whole process on a device, like, if some of those basics, you know, aren't in place, where you have, you know, a simple application process. Do you really need 7 pages of, you know, 20
yeah,
sections on each page to get through all of it? So there is, like, foundational work to do to get there. But I'm back in this camp of, like, we've got to figure it out and we need to have a solution end to end.
Yeah. Trish, I mean, what do you think about mobile in terms of a process, like, throughout, you know, an end-to-end process? Are you sort of thinking similarly to Justin?
I am. I am like her and going back and forth. I think if you get the right type of information, you make it simple. I do feel like it's good to be able to reach out, especially, I mean, when you're talking about hourly employees who might not have access to a computer in a more traditional way of traditional nowadays applying. So when I worked in healthcare, we saw that a lot. One of the big arguments we got from the execs was, you know, well, they, you know, this, we don't need mobile because who's going to use it? And I was like, well, my goodness, it's, you know, it's the housekeeper who's riding the bus to work or the train or the whatever, you know, who's going to be able to get on their cell phone and
apply that way.
Because think about it, are they going to really go to, like, the nearest library and try and log on or borrow somebody's computer? So, yeah,
Trish, that is an awesome point. Can you imagine, like, a scenario where, like, an organization would say, well, go to the library and apply? I mean, I guess that happens, right?
They do.
And
this isn't, you know, this isn't a reflection of where I work now. This is just in my impression in general. I mean, I think, you know, applications themselves are often so long. They ask for so many things as a required field that really, when you get down to it, aren't necessarily required. It's just that over time, a company gets to where, you know, they've asked certain things and why take it off, and then it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And so, yeah, I think it's also maybe when your company's looking at whether or not you want to have a mobile application process, that's the time truly just to look at your application process in general and say, look, are we a little too big? Do we need to scale it back? How much of this is really necessary? And I think that's for a lot of HR processes in general. So.
Hey, let me do a quick reset. This is the HR Happy Hour Show. My name is Steve Bowes. Trish McFarland is here. Our guest, of course, Jessica Lee. Jessica, you know, I'm going to stop the whole mobile and recruiting and social. Let's talk about Fistful of Talent for a second. You were the original editor at Fistful of Talent. You know, that's pretty amazing, right? I mean, I think I love FOT, and, you know, obviously I'm a contributor, but, man, what's happening? FOT. Like, did you think you'd still be a part of FOT however many years later it is?
I mean, it's kind of amazing to see, you know, how it's gotten to where it's at today. And I literally was like the post and pray type of, I mean, Kristen posted the job and I responded to a job posting and said, oh, I'm going to try this out. And I mean, I had no clue it evolved to what it is today. And you know what? I wouldn't have the job that I have today and be in this fortunate position I am to play so much with great technology and work for this major brand if it weren't for, you know, Fistful of Talent and the HR, you know, social media community. So I'm nothing without it. It's been an amazing ride.
I tell you what, Jessica, I'd echo you in many ways. There's no way, like, I would have had the opportunity to do some of the things I've done without blogging and being active online. Trish, I mean, maybe, I don't know if you'd say the same thing or not, but that's
my last two jobs
sure
came directly from social.
Yeah.
From people finding me on social, not from me finding them.
I mean, literally in my interview process at Marriott, I had someone say to me, based on your resume on paper, like, I don't know why I'm actually interviewing you. Like, how did you get here? It's interesting. I mean, on paper, and then, you know, you couple reputation, influence, and stuff through social. I'd be nowhere without Chris Dunn, you know, foresight to, you know, start it all up. So,
Chris, the man, good shout out to Chris. You know, speaking of that, right, I didn't read your whole bio, Jessica, because it was just too long, and we would have been on the bio forever, but you did have in there, but there was something, I'm saying that in a good way, but something in there made me laugh. It reminded me of the John Sumser influencer list, right, and how we would torment Sackett, and I wish we still could, so we need Sumser to get back on that, because I'm not sure he finished that list, I'm not sure he made it all the way to 100. I think he kind of petered out on it. So I need that back up. So if Sumser ever here,
oh my God,
tell him
so
to get that going again. Because the best part of it was every time someone new made the list, we could tease Sackett that it wasn't him, right? That was the value, you know, of that list.
Now, Tim Sackett officially made the list, though, last year on Tim Sackett Day. Did you not remember that?
Yeah.
Well, I think he paid for that, though. Is that,
did
legit?
He? Okay.
I think it was a sponsored post. It could have been, yeah.
Hey, I have to give a Marriott shout out. As we've been sitting here, I actually received from my Marriott rewards a win a trip to Los Angeles to see the premiere screening of 42, the Jackie Robinson story.
Nice.
Yes, so, we're so excited about 42.
And so I just went and liked it on Facebook. And then, Jessica, I did the whole spin and play the game, and I hit a home run, 4 entries right there. So.
That's awesome.
I hope
we
I get
love
a trip
our
to LA.
Will you take
numbers.
Me? Will you get to bring a guest? I think I should be the guest if you get to bring somebody. So keep that in mind. Or Jessica.
I will bring
or...
you, Jessica, and Chris Dunn.
All right. Fair enough. No, okay. Not Sackett, though. Sackett will be, like, if you can
Sackett
bring three
will be left
four
out.
People, Sackett will be number 5. It's like, oh,
sorry.
No, sorry. I only want a trip for 4. You were 5, though. We,
oh, that's
I would
right.
have brought you. I would
yep.
have brought you. Hey, the last
Well, we could bring
thing.
Him along to.
Go ahead, Jessica.
We can bring him. I mean, we need someone to take like photos of us as we're galloping. He could be our photographer or something.
Yeah, I love it. That's perfect.
That's good, man. Hey, Jessica, the last sort of technical sort of hit thing I wanted to hit real quick, and one thing we're seeing a lot of interest in, and you know, will definitely be, you know, a featured kind of thing at the HR Tech Conference in the fall is video. And so I'd love for you to comment on whether or not, you know, again, not if you're necessarily using video or not in Marriott, but just your thoughts about video as a part of the recruiting process, the engagement process. Is video something that you see becoming real mainstream, and in 2 years it'll be just everyone's video interviewing now and it's not a big deal anymore?
Oh, my gosh. I don't even know where to start with video. I think there's still, like, huge hesitancy to really get on that bandwagon. And if you start talking to, like, really corporate people who are going to start bringing in privacy and data issues with video, it's more complicated than I think that it is on the surface. But I just still think there's, like, this perception thing of, like, people do not want to be on video. I mean, you're going to have to show up in person for an interview anyways, but there's something about video where people just – it sketches them out. I don't know, like, what it's going to take to get – like folks over the hump, maybe it's like a generation of folks will retire, but I don't know. I'm seeing that as still a kind of a tough territory.
Yeah,
are you meaning
Trish,
people like the applicants don't want to be on video or the execs don't want to?
I think it's both.
Both?
Yeah, I've seen it on both sides. Yeah, I don't know what the hesitation is.
And again, I left healthcare before we really saw this through, but one thing we were really thinking about was in terms of interviewing when you have a 24-hour operation, which, of course, Marriott is, you know, people who might already have, like, an evening or night shift job, and so it's really hard for them to be, you know, awake and alert enough during morning hours of the day or whatever, you know, when most execs would be there. So we had talked about using it in terms of would you at least have maybe, instead of a phone screen, have a video screen where they could actually – answer, say, a set of, you know, 10 questions or whatever, 5 questions, whatever it would be, record their video, and then the execs during the day, normal day shift, could review those and then determine who to bring in. So we had talked about that, but that never quite took off. But
right.
I don't know. That's kind of how we were thinking of maybe using video more as a
I'd love to, you know, we have a few folks on the back channel tonight. I would love to do like a quick instant Twitter poll. Like, have you ever participated in a video interview, either on either side, as an interviewer or an interviewee? Because I'll start to say I have never participated in one. It's not that I'm against it philosophically. I just never have. It's never come up in my life.
Or even just video chat. I mean, even besides interviews, I think people are just nervous when that light goes on. Like, if they see that red light on their computer,
yeah.
It's just like, ooh, what do I do?
Yeah, I did a horrible Google Hangout the other day. Like, it's like, let's do a Google Hangout and try to record it. And it looked like, you know, Trish, you joked about me being the Unabomber a second ago. That's what it looked like, because I'm in my basement office with, like, and my lighting is not optimal, so it's almost like, you know, that raw bulb hanging from the ceiling, only, you know, uncovered, you know, one incandescent bulb, and it, you know, it's pretty much dark, and, you know, I hadn't shaved in 3 weeks. It looked like a hostage video, you know, like I was trying to beg, like, instead of like an intelligent Google Hangout where I was talking about, you know, technology or trends or whatever, like, it looked like I was begging for my release and please pay the ransom so that they'll let me go.
Oh, man. Well, I just think, as you describe yourself often, that's probably the view I had of bloggers in general before I ever became one. Is just, yeah, some person sitting in their basement, their parents' basement, though, really. But, yeah, not shaving, maybe a knit cap over their head or something, writing their manifesto on their blog, so.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that's another whole – I am not a fan of the manifesto. That's a whole other story.
Oh, let's make a whole other show on that one.
I'm not down with the manifesto. I'm not down with, like, writing a paragraph about something you think and then deciding – that's a manifesto. I think a manifesto has to be like, has to be more impactful. It's gonna be hundreds of pages. It's gotta be hard bound, like a nice in a leather binding of some kind. I'm not down with like 300 word manifestos. I'm just not buying that.
Very good.
Hey, we're almost up at the end of it. Like always, Jessica. These shows just fly by. So first of all, before we run out of time, I want you to tell us things you're doing, where you're going. Will you be doing any events, any speaking? Do you have anything on your horizon? Are you sort of coming out from under in 2013? Anything you want to mention?
Yeah, I am finally coming up for air. So I'll be chairing the Spring Erie Expo in San Diego. It will be at a Marriott, but that's April 15th to 17th. For folks who might not be aware or haven't registered to go. And then in May, I'm really excited. There's actually a user conference with Avature, who we are a client of, and I'll
Great.
Be out in Chicago for that. And then I'll see folks at SHRM in Chicago again in June. So those are the immediate things that I have on the docket.
And the federal workplace conference?
Oh my gosh, yeah. I mean, right in my backyard, also at a Marriott brand. So that'll be coming up as well. And I'll be co-presenting with a gentleman named John Sim, who works for the feds but is doing really cool social media stuff in the federal sector, which isn't always easy. So that's all exciting.
Yeah, that's great. It's really cool you're out and about this year. John Sim, a good friend. I could call him a good friend. I'd like to call him a good friend, but I did see him present last year. Fantastically intelligent guy. John's like the kind of guy that the government needs to get out in front more. Because if you met a guy
totally.
Like John and listened to him and talked to him, you would hate the government less, right? Because you would say,
yeah.
Wow, that guy really knows what he's talking about, and he's really cool and sharp and smart. So super guy. So that should be a really cool event. Our friend Lisa Rosendahl, Trish, is a part of that event as well.
Oh, good.
That'll be a fun event as well. So, yeah, ERE, of course. That's huge, Jessica. So do you have, like, your ERE speech ready to go? Yeah, that's a big spot, a big stage. Are you, like,
oh my gosh.
Prepped for that?
I'm trying to, like, get a stockpile of dingers and one-liners, because when you're host, I mean, that's really it.
Yeah.
I don't have to be intelligent.
That's a good strategy.
I just have to be witty. Yeah, witty and, you know, good shoes is the plan. So that's my strategy.
Cool.
You'll do great.
Cool. Now, that's
thanks.
Awesome. Yeah, so cool stuff. You know, what else, Trish? We're sort of running. I had a whole sort of part three set of questions for the show, which we're probably not going to get to. Should I throw any of them out, Trish, or are we just like bad?
No, I have a more important question for Jessica.
All right, go ahead.
So I was and am a big fan of Jessica's fashion sense, and she was designing lots of clothing. So I was just curious, I mean, are you still, I know you're not necessarily posting that out there, but are you still kind of keeping that hobby alive, and any new fashions that you're going to be displaying at any of these events that are your creations?
Oh, my gosh. I'm actually staring at my Project Runway sewing machine, which is gathering dust because
oh, no.
I've been working so much. But now you're, like, lighting a fire beneath me that I should debut maybe at ERE at least one handmade outfit. I've got some cute Kate Middleton-ish dresses that I can bring with me. But, man, I have to be honest, I've been slacking. My poor Project Runway sewing machine, it needs some love.
Yeah, well, I can't sew hardly at all. I mean, minimum stuff. I do have, like, a very fancy Husqvarna machine that my mother-in-law purchased for me. And
Trish, I have a Husqvarna too, but it's like
Is it a mower or something?
A chainsaw, yeah.
Well, there you go. No, but my kids, over Christmas break, we, for whatever reason, we found some flyer that the fabric store by our house was having kids sewing classes, and now even my son, who is, you know, super into football, baseball, all those things, like, they go and they pick out fabric, and they like making pillows. So, but they cut them out in different shapes, and they design them, and actually Carly just finished a pillow for the Stalick twins. So there's been a lot of sewing going on in my house, but it made me think of Jessica because I liked your cape dress last year. I know that was one that turned out really pretty when you posted that.
Oh, you're so nice. Now,
yeah.
Now I feel guilty.
I want
need
you
to
do
it
because I want to hire you to make a dress for me. How about that?
Oh, there you go.
Michael Long, who is into designing jewelry now with rocks and stones and that sort of thing. So I'm going to get a Michael Long original necklace, and so see if I had a Jessica Lee to wear with that. That would be awesome.
That would be pretty cool. So
if,
like,
I could have that ensemble
for
HR Evolution in the fall,
yeah,
I would be
show
a
up
rock
at
star
HR
right
Evolution
there.
And so we could say, well, wait, Trish, what are you wearing? And you could say, well, I'm wearing a Jessica Lee. And
I know. Wouldn't that be fantastic?
That would be pretty cool.
And then
cool.
I could put it in my bio, too, that
you
I
absolutely could.
HR thought leaders. I like this.
Lovely.
All right, we'll have to talk more about that on a future show.
Well, hey, you know what? So, Jessica, you know what? We probably didn't get to it all. We definitely didn't get to it all, but that's okay. It was fun. First of all, many, many thanks for you taking the time out to be on the show tonight. It's great to have a chance to chat. Great to talk to someone who's, like, at the forefront of what's happening in social and network, in media and engagement recruiting at one of my favorite brands. So, Jessica, many, many thanks for you for being with us tonight.
Of course. It's my pleasure. Thank you for being a Marriott fan, too. I appreciate that.
You know, and I'm not just saying that. I'm not just trying. I am trying to suck up a little bit, but I'm not just saying that. I've been a Marriott guy all the way. You know, I think it's cool, like, with all the brands. Like, I like the fact that, you know, you've got, like, everywhere you go, whether it's the Courtyard, the Residence Inn, or the, you know, the full Marriott, or, you know, God, there's so many of them. I don't even know them all, but I don't know. I'm a mark. I'm a mark for the Marriott.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I like the Marriott
everywhere
Marquee in Times Square.
Yeah.
Yes, that one's historic. That one's
love
awesome.
That
the
one.
The Marquee. So when I go to New York with my son, now 12. I've had him down to New York City a few times. He absolutely insists every time we go, we stay in the Marquee because he wants to be right there, you know, right in Times Square. And in fact, I'm going back. I didn't even mention this, Trish. I had so many plugs at the beginning of the show. I cut a few of them off, but I am going back to the Marriott Marquee in April, early April. I'll be doing an event with my old friends at Oracle in the first week of April. So,
oh, that's
thank
great.
God I'll be back in the Marriott Marquee. I can't wait to get back.
Awesome.
So, next week, I'm in Vegas, Trish. Ultimate Software, huge event.
Fantastic.
For me. I'm doing a couple of sessions for our friends at Ultimate Software, so I'll be heading out to Vegas. I won't tell Jessica where I'm staying at the moment, but heading out to Vegas. Got to Vegas next week for Ultimate Software, so we'll love that. No show next week because I will be in Vegas. We'll be back the week after next We're going to take another crack at our sort of tragic benefits show that ended horribly with some technical problems. So Jennifer Benz, Fran Melman, and hopefully Mark Stelzner, another long time, hasn't been on the show in ages, will be back on March 21st. So March 21st will be our next live show. Jessica, again, thanks so much. Trish, thank you very much for everything.
Thank you.
Congratulations to our friend in HR Evolution Companion, Matt Stalick, again, on the birth of his twins, Steve and Stephanie, unofficially named. And so great, great news for them. Great news for everybody in the HR community. So give a shout-out to Matt, a.k.a. Bruno, on Twitter. Say congratulations to him. And we'll see you back live in 2 weeks on the HR Happy Hour show. Again, Jessica, Trish, everybody. My voice held out for the remainder of the show. Trish, this song, this is your request. I'm going to play this on the way out. So thanks, everybody.
Awesome.
And we'll see you in 2 weeks on the HR Happy Hour show. Okay, thank you, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Well, thank you for playing Green Day. I know how much you hate them, so that was amazing.
Yeah, it's Trish, the after show, it's just you and I right now.
Awesome.
We lost everybody else. So,
everybody else dropped? Okay.
Thank you for making it on time. I appreciate that.
You are quite welcome.
Good stuff, and we'll see you in 2 weeks, right? We'll be back in 2 weeks. Hopefully we'll get that organized and not have a technical problem like we did last time. So
no, I think it'll be good. And I like the idea of having Fran and Mark on as well. So
yeah,
very good.
All right, should I play the Green Day song again and let it go to the end?
Nah, it's turned off.
No, there's got to be a song on the way out.
On the way out. Goodbye.
Wait a minute. I'm going to go with... here we go. All right. Good night, everybody. We'll see you next time on the HR Happy Hour Show. Goodbye.